had begun to get the magic touch. I needed only to wish that certain Momios would die, and it seemed to happen. Of course, there were rituals that needed to be performed for the magic to work properly. I had to visit them, touch their caskets. Sometimes, though it seemed to me that I worked unconsciously, I would make tiny adjustments to the settings of their support systems. It was not that I deliberately set out to harm them. But in some way that I could not quite fathom, my handiwork was always sufficient to bring about that end. In truth, it was magic. And it had served me powerfully. The dead and the living were now quite separated. One whole row of sleeper rings, 16 of them, holding 160 caskets, was now occupied solely by the demised. Half of another row, another 8, 6 dead, a quarter of the sleepers were gone now. I tapped the sequence of commands which I had long ago committed to memory. Norquinco had given me that sequence, after years of covert work. It had been a stroke of genius recruiting him to the cause. According to all the technical manuals, and the best expert advice, what I was about to do should not have been possible, prevented by a slew of safety interlocks. Over the years, as he had slowly worked his way through the hierarchy of the audit team, Norquinco had found ways around every supposedly watertight failsafe, concealing his labors by stealth and cunning. And with the work, Norquinco had grown in confidence. At first, I had been surprised by this transformation, until I realized that it had always been inevitable, once the man had been ensconced into the audit team. Norquinco had been forced to go through the motions of functioning in a normal human environment, rather than his usual studied isolation. As he had risen to a position of seniority in the team, Norquinco had molded himself to the role with worrying adaptability. There came a point where I no longer had to intervene in Norquinco's promotions. But I'd never really forgiven him for his betrayal aboard the Caliuche. We met only periodically, each time I noticed an incremental increase in Norquinco's cockiness. At first, it had been easy to dismiss. The work was proceeding apace, Norquinco's reports detailing each layer of safeguards which he had breached. I had demanded demonstrations to show that the work had really been done, and Norquinco had obliged. I had had no doubt that the task would be completed to my satisfaction by the time I needed it. But there had been a glitch. 4 months earlier, after the last layer of safeguard machinery had been bypassed, the work, to all intents and purposes, was complete, and suddenly I understood why Norquinco had been so obliging. "The technical term for the arrangement I am about to propose," Norquinco said, "is, I believe, blackmail." "You're not serious." We had met alone along the spine corridor, near Node 7, during one of our inspection tours. "Oh, I'm very serious, Sky. You realize that now, don't you?" "I'm getting the picture." I looked along the corridor. I thought I could see a pulsing orange glow somewhere down it. "What exactly is it you want, Norquinco?" "Influence, Sky. The audit squad isn't enough now. It's a dead-end job for computer geeks. Technical work just doesn't interest me anymore. I've been aboard an alien spacecraft. That changes one's expectations. I want something more challenging. You promised me glories when we were aboard the Caliuche. I haven't forgotten. Now I want some of that power and responsibility." I chose my words carefully. "There's a world of difference between hacking some software and running a ship, Norquinco." "Oh, don't patronize me. I do realize that, you arrogant bastard. That's what I said about wanting a challenge. And don't think I want your job either. Not yet, anyway. I'll let the law of natural